All right, we're doing a cold open this week on the Weekly Blitz podcast. I'm Big Rick. Thank you for joining us, which means we're not going to have the chair shot advertiser because, you know, we're just doing this. So thechairshot.com. This show is brought to you by thechairshot.com. All your news, reviews, analysis, and podcasts of the wrestling world, that is thechairshot.com. Joining us this week, again, is a guy that will steal your wallet and then help you look for it. Mr. Jim Collis, how you doing, buddy?
I like that intro. I'm doing well, man. Football season, can't go wrong. Feels good.
Another week has come, another week has gone, and yet no sign of Brad. And, Brad, this is, you're on a 90-day probationary period, and you've already called in twice. So, let's hope this doesn't happen every week. But, this week, man, we got some topics. A lot of things are going on. We're going to review the current standings for NCAA picks. We're going to review current standings for NFL picks. And then we're going to do a new segment called Buy or Sell. That's when we're going to talk about a little bit of football. And then we're going to get on to next week's picks. So where do you want to start, man? You want to recap last week's picks?
Yeah, that's good. That's fine.
That was my phone. I owe everybody a beer. I apologize. All right, let's start with the NFL, man. Last week, week one, I went 16%. I'm up to 50. Jim, I'm up to 50, man. So that's a huge bump. If I can make that bump again this week, I'm going to be doing all right. Brad had 33%. I had 50. You stayed in the green with 66. Eagles, Bengals, and Jets screwed me, and the Steelers and Bengals got you. Man, when I found out that your boy was out with mono, I thought I switched it. Because I knew the
really?
Jet. I thought I switched it to the Browns.
I thought you were just trying to be contrarian.
That's a big word for our audience. So
I thought you were just trying to go against the grain.
Okay, no, because I didn't even know who the second string quarterback was for the Jets, and then he got hurt. So now, anytime that I should have put the Jets on this week, because I'm picking against them every week.
There's no point in it. They got New England.
That's a lot of points, man. Actually, we do have and I did pick them. So, yeah.
23. You took the Jets?
No. Not this week.
Oh.
I'm 0-2 with the Patriots, so I figure I might as well just jump on the bandwagon while they're screwing me hard. Yeah, so week one, Brad went 16. I went 16. You went 83. Week two, Brad bumped up to 33. I bumped up to 50. You went down to 66, but you still went 4-2. On your picks. College football, last week, Brad, he was at 60 week two. He went to 66. I was at 80. I went to 83. You were at 60. You bumped up to 66. So, progressively, Maryland's the only team. We all picked Maryland, and we all lost. I don't know what happened there.
Temple had a good game plan. Temple was the first team, apparently, that Maryland had seen that actually had 11 people on defense.
So, yeah, before we make our picks, man, because I want to close with that, let's just get on the topics. Any noticeable games you want to talk about or anything that happened last week that you want to discuss?
I mean, Big Ben going down is – I think that's a game changer for that franchise. I mean, it just – if you – I don't see how Juju and Connor can – you know, I'm staying away from the Saints for right now because that's your topic, but I don't see how Juju and Connor can hold value with Mason Rudolph at quarterback. And I like the kid. I just don't think he's an NFL. He's not Big Ben, certainly.
Right.
He's not, you know, going to hang on in the pocket with three guys on his back and throw a 50-yard touchdown. So,
and it's reasons like this why at week 10 we can change our picks for division winners, conference winners. Big Ben went out for the season.
Yep.
Drew Brees is out. It says minimum. They're hoping 4 to 6 weeks. They did not place him on the IR.
Well, you can't place him on IR. You place him on IR, you cannot come off
right
for a minimum of – you can start practicing after 6 weeks, but you can't be taken off for games till 8.
So
their season will be over.
Right. So far this year for quarterbacks, Luck retired, Eli was benched, Darnold has mono. Nick Foles, broken collarbone. Breeze, torn ligament in his thumb. Cam Newton, no timeline on foot injury. And Big Ben out for the year. And we're only in week three. So it's been, and not normally when you see a quarterback goes down, when you see a quarterback go down, it's not a high profile quarterback. You don't see Drew Brees. I mean, every now and then you'll see Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, but a lot of them are these quarterbacks that these teams try so hard to protect. But when you're going against the best defensive tackle in the game, and Donald, I mean.
Yeah, but the NFL has got to where they're protecting as much as they can, or maybe in the quarterbacks.
Right.
Half of these weren't related to a contact hit. I can't think of a player, well, other than the backup for the Jets, who got slammed by Miles on the Monday night game on a late hit, tore his ankle up. Other than that, I mean, Big Ben, he threw nobody around him. He just grabbed his elbow.
Yeah,
Breeze hit his thumb, which I'm sure he hits 50 times a game if you ever play quarterback. I had my hands were brutal after every game. Just multiple players. I mean, Darnold going down with mono. When's the last time you heard of any NFL player getting mono?
The last time I heard anybody going down with mono was middle school.
Exactly. that's crazy. So, I mean, it's just a fluke thing, but – like I said, when players are at the end and they're close to retiring, I mean, future Hall of Famers, I think Big Ben is. I think Breeze definitely is. So how much do you want to come back after sitting out a season and start the grind all over again? I don't know if it's easier just at that point just to walk away.
Especially Big Ben. He's been at it 14 years.
Right.
And it's not the same 14 years Drew has had. This dude is taking some hits. He's had surgeries, multiple surgeries.
Yeah, it's not the same career. He's got two Super Bowls.
Man.
I had to drop that in.
It hurts, dude. Yeah.
You a hard time.
Well, you made a good point about Ben. Breeze fan. But you made a good point about Ben. Breeze, it's easy, a lot easier to come back. Thumb, 6 weeks, you know, Cinderella story, wins the Super Bowl this year. It was God's plan, hypothetically. But when you talk about Ben out for the season, now you have to rehab. You're already beat up, your body. I mean, tremendously. Nobody, you know, every year is this Ben's last year. Another surgery on the off season. Now you got to rehab, go through the off season, get back in the motion. It's not like a leg or an ankle. This is your elbow on your throwing arm, and you're a quarterback. It's totally different.
And because it did not happen on a hit, you know, they talk about ACL, MCL injuries. Guys come back and they're so worried about contact. How do you get over, I just threw a ball, something I've done 10,000 times in NFL, let alone before that. And I've done this 10,000 times and my elbow just, the nerves just rip apart. Well, there's no protection for that. So, I don't know. I have a strong feeling that he just says, you know, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to be an ambassador for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to do this and that. But
he needs to let that organization know something, obviously, by the end of the year, because they got to prepare. You just can't go Ben Roethlisberger to this.
Yeah,
guy.
I think they draft. I think
that's Pittsburgh, what I was going to ask you on the next, but let's just bring it up now. Does Pittsburgh say, regardless of your answer, we're going to go ahead and draft who we think is the next guy for this organization?
Absolutely. If Mason Rudolph doesn't do well, they're basically going to say, okay, he just filled out the season, but he's not the future. They've been talking about getting one for a couple of years. I think Rudolph was a second or third round pick. So if he's not, there's a lot of players coming in. And it also depends on where they're at in the draft. I mean, they gave up their first. So for Minka Fitzpatrick, a corner, which it's kind of weird. You lose your star quarterback, and then you turn around and trade as if you're in the running.
What does this mean for Pittsburgh to you? I don't think – I'm looking here. I don't think you and Brad chose Pittsburgh to win the division.
I did, but I had already decided I was changing that to Baltimore – I didn't have any faith in Lamar Jackson. That's the only reason.
Okay.
I knew since he was going to take a step back, and I didn't buy into all the Cleveland hype. I do like Pittsburgh's defense, but without Big Ben, I mean, without Roethlisberger, you're just not – I don't see them making the playoffs.
Antonio Brown, a second woman has come out, said he raped her, and then a doctor – the video. Have you seen the video?
I saw the video. I didn't know anything about the second woman.
Yeah, the second woman came out, and then ESPN, right when I was putting these notes together, ESPN had sent out that he will not be charged for any sexual harassment, but the NFL is still conducting their investigation. So it kind of put a halt on the on that topic, but the video comes out. He keeps farting in his doctor's face. I mean, come on. You're not, I mean, what the hell's going on with this guy?
Dude, when I saw the video,
it's ridiculous.
Any man, maybe females not, cannot understand this, but any
it depends,
man.
It depends what you're into, people. We're not judging anybody.
Yeah. Any man can understand I'm doing something and inadvertently this happens. But in that case, you are clearly embarrassed by it. You know, it's just not something, you know, not, it's, you're not hanging out with your buddies, you know, cutting up on a weekend or something. You're with a professional doing something for your career. So at first I thought when I saw the lawsuit or when I saw everything come out, I was like, this is somebody just jumping on the bandwagon. But then when I watched the video, it's clear he does it on purpose because he does it. And look, somebody's filming and he's looking into the camera laughing about it and then does it again. And I wanted so badly to reach through the phone and on the video and slap the doctor for accepting it. I just wanted to, any man that I know would just be pissed. I didn't understand that.
So this past week, I'm still kind of hoarse. If you can hear me, I lost my voice during the Saints Rams game. during the what should have been a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Jim, I don't know if you've ever played any sports growing up.
You serious?
No, I'm not serious. But you know more than anybody that momentum is something that is a game changer in sports. It doesn't matter. I am confident at saying if the officials would have let that fumble for a touchdown stand with New Orleans and Los Angeles, even without Drew, at least for a little while longer, it would have been a different game. It would have been a different game. And that is the third game in a row. And I cry and I bitch the day of the game, but after that I let it go. But this is the third game in a row that the officials have come out and said we made a mistake against the Saints. And at a certain, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I don't think they're huddling up before the game and saying that we got to screw them some way, somehow. But this topic is repercussions for officials. Not just for the Saints, but the NFL in general, because it happens in every game. It's just happening to the Saints every game in a game that's spotlighted by primetime, whether it's the NFC Championship, Monday Night Football, now Game of the Week. So three games in a row, three primetime games in a row, the media can't help but cover it. But let's talk as a league in general. If a player goes out in the offseason and does something, they get fined, they get suspended, they get punished. An official goes out and blows a call that could possibly change the game, the outcome of the game, and or people's paychecks. Cameron Jordan gets three touchdowns from the defensive side. He gets a bonus. That's in his contract. Now, I'm just saying, hypothetically, if he gets two this year, doesn't get third, and I know this is a stretch, Jim, but at the end of the day, the officials took money off this guy's table. They took food off his table. They took money out of his pocket. What needs to happen, in your opinion, in general for officials, if they either blow a call, if they miss a call? Look, I get if you miss a call, but if you, I don't want to say intentionally, but they're instructed to let this play happen. You got to let the play go out. You got to see what happens. You can return a touchdown, but you can't give back a touchdown. What do you think the NFL needs to do, if anything, to these officials that are blowing calls on a consistent basis, and it seems like it's happening more and more in the NFL?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I know that I believe this year the NFL, last year may have been the first year that they had some full-time refs, but I mean, you got to understand these guys are – what you don't want to have happen is suddenly nobody wants to be an official, because if you're going to dock me for something that I think is a split-second, spur-of-the-moment call that's subjective to my view, you know, like a pass interference call, then I think, you know, I don't want to be a ref. I don't want to be an official. I don't know that there's enough money you can pay me that I'm going to spend my weekends and go out there to get blasted by the NFL. You know, if I make a bad call, there should be the ability for the NFL, which we're moving that way, but I don't know if I want to be 100%, but the ability for the NFL to say, we're looking at this in the booth in New York or whatever, you know, like they do now on turnovers and things like that. And they can basically say, yes, this was, or no, it was not. And if everybody goes into the game knowing that any given play can be turned over by the NFL booth or whatever, then everybody's on the same level. You know, you can't be mad about it, because you're going to get some calls for you. You're going to lose some calls against you over time. So in this case, the Rams could have been upset about it. But in the end, it was a right call. If they did turn it over, if they did overturn the call, it would have been the right call. And ultimately, I think in the end, baseball, any sport, all you want is that they get the call right.
Right.
In the end, they get it right. So they're trying to do that with the pass interference thing this year. But I think you can't limit it. You know, there's so many things that go on. You're never going to be able to say, okay, you have the ability to challenge if there was a hold.
Right. Well,
on the offensive line.
Playing offensive line for 17 years, you hold, not you, but there's holding every play. You can call holding every play if you want to.
So, and I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it so, because of the Saints and the Rams and the issues that they had, they're trying to make this, you're allowed to kind of look at egregious activity, but we can't open the Pandora's box to allow holding and everything else. But I think anything that's a turnover or even a possible turnover should be reviewed. And that's just it, because ultimately you want it right. No matter who wins the call,
right.
You want it to be the right call.
Yeah, I'm with you. You don't want to know you're going into a game knowing you're going to get scrutinized, knowing you're going to get, quote unquote, bullied into. Like you said, no matter where you're at, the fans are going to jump down your ass for some reason point in the game. But like you said, at the end of the day, you just want to get it right. It doesn't matter what it is. And I don't know the percentage here, but I remember when I watched in Red Zone, they had a lot of coaches challenge pass interferences, and a lot of them were overturned in that coach's favor. So, but, I mean, yeah, it's...
Well, if you were watching the Falcons game against the Eagles, Atlanta challenged the call. It was clear to everybody, including the commentators, and they agreed it was going to be. And then it came back that play stands as called, no pass interference. And I was like, okay, then that to me makes no sense in having the call, having the ability to do it.
Right.
If you're going to look at it and still not get it right. So, of course, if I'm a Philly fan, I'm agreeing with the call. So.
All right, man, current standings for the NCAA through 3 weeks. I lead you three at 87.6%. Brad's in second with 69. Jim, you're in third at 53. But when we flop it to the NFL, you're solely in the lead at 74%. I'm second at 33. Brad is slacking behind at 24. I thought...
I wish I'd have been betting on that 74%.
Maybe you should bet what you actually say on the – you'd be winning 74% of the time.
I do. I do bet the teams that I do. I actually, not always, because sometimes you guys pick a game that I don't want to be involved in.
Right.
So I won't put money on it, but I'll pick it in this. But I do, for the most part, I do stay with the same side.
There's – I invited you to a betting page on Facebook. I don't know if you got that.
I got contacted by some guy that wanted to be my friend. I guess that's what it was.
I invited it. Was it a guy with headphones?
Yep.
Yeah, he's the admin
I didn't know who he was.
He won't bug you. If you accept him, he'll let you in the group, and then that's it. You'll never hear from him again. But it's people constantly asking opinions, constantly showing their betting slips. I mean, just back and forth. It's a really good group. But one thing I noticed about this, and Brad called me, and I noticed this, but I didn't say anything to Brad. Then he called me. He goes, how are you going to invite me to a group where people are betting more money a week than I make a year? People are betting $30,000, $40,000. You know, you have your $15, $25 bettors like me who nickel and dime through the season. Then you have your few hundred a week, few thousand. Then you have that small percentage that goes $15, $20, $25,000, and they'll show you the betting slip. And I'm like, what's crazy about that is you lose that.
Yeah, what's crazy about that is, though, because I don't know that guy, to him, that $15,000 may be $1,500 to me.
I'm about to say, if you're betting $15,000, I would like to think that you have $15,000 to bet. And you're not fourth mortgage out on your home to bet on the Baltimore Ravens.
Right. You've got, and I'll be honest, if I have that kind of money invested, I'm either extremely rich and this is just a side hobby that I don't care about losing $15,000 every now and then or being up $50,000, whatever. It's no different than going in a casino. But my problem is, I mean, what my thinking is, if I'm betting that kind of money, I am also paying for information that the guy who's betting $100 doesn't get. I mean, so you know the guy from Pharrell from Kentucky,
right?
So he's got ins with general managers and people like that, and you know he tries to do it for fantasy football, and it doesn't equate to fantasy because the guy could score, you know, a couple of touchdowns and have a good day, but that doesn't mean he's a great fantasy player, you know. But if you have those kind of connections and you're at that level, you know, you assume you have more information than the average person, and so you have less risk of your money. So, ultimately, it doesn't matter.
I'm not confident in any college games this week enough to bet money, but there was three in the NFL that I'm confident. That is two of the three I'm confident. And that's the Titans being given 2 points. Or the Titans given 2 points
against the Titans are giving up too.
Yep. The Rams given 3 to the Saints. I think the Rams given 3 to the Browns.
Yep.
I think the Browns are an okay team, but I think especially after last week, even though they beat a Drew Breesless Saints, I think they take that momentum. And I think they beat Cleveland pretty convincingly. And then Cincinnati being given 6 points against Buffalo. Look, Cincinnati's not that good a team, but at some point they have to for one game. And I like Buffalo. I chose Buffalo to come in second in the AFC East, but I took the points in Cincinnati here. But confidence, I just think I don't know Jacksonville. I'll take two in Titans.
On the Cincinnati game, I was so confident. If you would have asked me, that was the lock of the week last week. And they got their ass handed to them by San Francisco by 31 points. I mean, I was just – it killed every betting slip I had. I had them literally on every parlay that I had. It was so freaking, I couldn't believe it because it was the first pick that I made the whole weekend. It was just a lock. They had played so well against Seattle. Mm-hmm. In Seattle, I just knew that Dalton was going to throw for 400 yards again. San Francisco's secondary is horrible, but I mean, I was just stunned. So I actually am going the other way on that pick. I like Buffalo to go 3-0. Buffalo is playing extremely well. Their defense is a dog.
I want to say I was looking at it for fantasy earlier. I got in the real stats, but I think they had the third or fourth best defense.
Oh yeah.
In the NFL. I mean, and they're good. And their numbers were impressive.
Yeah, they're getting after them on D. They've always had a good secondary, but now they're kind of putting it all together. You know, their coach is a defensive coach.
Yep.
So they're putting it all together. But Josh Allen has a couple of deep ball players that he can throw the long ball to. And what sets him apart to me is that he can use his legs. So, I mean, he'll end up with 30 to 50 rushing yards in this game, just getting outside the pocket. Extending a play like that kills the defense. So I don't think Cincinnati can stay with him. I actually take a Buffalo.
Recapping last week's bets, again, at the beginning of the season, I put $50 in, and I've been playing with that 50. I went up, I went down, but I got down to $7 in my account, and I'm sorry, $17 in my account last week. I lost all of – I had three parlays. I lost all the parlays due to the Patriots-Miami game, which made me feel somewhat comfortable, but we're going to get to that on buy or sell. And I said, you know, the Rams are just kicking the Saints' ass. And live betting, they had them at 11.5 favorites to win. I took it. I put all the money. I got my money back, plus another, I want to say 18 or 20. So I'm back to pretty much where I started. But coincidence, my Saints helped me out at the end of the day to get my money back. But,
yeah.
Fucking Patriots, man. Jesus Christ. Let's just get to a buy or sell, man. Lamar Jackson.
You know, we talked about this last week. I think he's staying solidly in that top 12 quarterbacks. He's a QB1, and as long as they keep running the ball well, which he's contributing to, they've got a good enough team around him. I mean, they've got one of the better offensive lines in the NFL.
He's putting up Patrick Mahomes' numbers. So do you think he keeps this up throughout the season, or do you think he kind of dwindles down when they get into divisional play?
Actually, in a regular year, but this year, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, I don't see any of those giving him a huge fight. So I think he keeps it up. It's interesting, this game this weekend, I mean, over and under is 53, but I could see that being like a 31-34 shootout because I don't think either one of them can stop the other. Baltimore and KC are just going to be back and forth. So I actually like Baltimore and the points in that game.
Buy or sell, the Dolphins losing ways. Are they this bad, man? Are they going to stay like this all year? Are they tanking for Tua? I mean, what's going on with the Dolphins, Jim?
I think the general attitude is that they are, but I don't think they can help it. I mean, if you look at the talent up and down that roster, you can't. They traded away their best offensive lineman when they didn't have a very good offensive line to start with. They're rotating two quarterbacks, neither of which is a number one quarterback. I mean, Fitz is good when he's got time and when he catches people off guard, but he didn't even have the receivers. He did well in Tampa Bay because he had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yep.
He's, you know, that's a huge drop off to Devontae Parker and Albert Wilson. So I don't know. I think they're going to set a record for futility. I'm not saying they'll go 0-16 because that's hard to do in the NFL. But I actually think that they're going to set a record for getting scored on. I don't know a single person on their defensive.
Their best linebacker they traded to New Orleans, so we appreciate that.
Was that Kiko Alonso?
Yeah,
Kiko Alonso.
Led
they traded
the team in tackles.
They traded their best corner.
Yeah, he's gone.
I mean, they got players that are asking their agents to get them out.
But I think they have two or three first-round picks next year.
They have three.
Three. So they're obviously so we go from the Dolphins losing ways, buy or sell, to the Patriots winning ways. 77 points in 2 weeks. I think they only gave up 13 the first week. They didn't give up anything to the Dolphins. I mean, we know the Patriots, man, but do we know these Patriots? 77 points in two games with one shutout? You buying or selling this offense?
I'm buying the offense. I mean, regardless of whether – I mean, as long as Antonio Brown is there, it's just a bonus. But even if he's not there, they have a great offense. I mean, they go – they're the opposite of Miami right now. I mean, they've got a solid quarterback, all-world quarterback. They've got three receivers, one coming back from IR, so they'll have four receivers. They go four deep at running back. They've got a good offensive line. Their defense is always better than expected. And they've got a shutdown corner. So, I mean, they, what do you say about them? They're the class of the AFC right now, even though the Chiefs have more firepower.
Do
the
they
Patriots
know?
Have a better all-around team.
Do they have more firepower?
Well,
Brown, Edelman?
They have more firepower, in my opinion, because of Andy Reid's offense. Is on any given play, it could be first and one or third and 20. He will throw a 50-yard bomb. And you will rarely see Brady do that. Brady will pick you apart like a surgeon.
Yep.
But he rarely just throws deep ball after deep ball. I mean, if you throw 10 deep balls a game in the NFL, you're probably going to complete four or five. And if you complete four, two of those, three of those are probably touchdowns. So.
Buy or sell Kaepernick coming back. Reports are that his agent has been contacting the Steelers, the Jets, the Saints. Look, the man got his money from Nike. The man got his money from the NFL in the settlement. I don't think the guy wants to play football. Even with the rumors, I don't think nobody's going to pick him up. I'm definitely selling this. What say you?
I would sell it only not because I don't think he'll get picked up, but 2 years away from the NFL is difficult.
Yep.
I don't care what anybody says. You could be in the best shape of your life, but it'll take 4 or 5 weeks for him to get in game shape and then getting acclimated to whatever offense he's in. My biggest question about it is somebody willing to sign him? If they do, is there a clause in his agreement that says you can't do that kneeling shit all over again? Because that's all died down now. The NFL's let it go. It's kind of in the background. Nobody's talking about it. If he comes out and kneels the first game he's back on the team, it's all back in the front again. And now the NFL's got to turn around and go through the whole thing all over again. So I would imagine there's some discussions. You can't do that. And if he's willing to not do that, then he was never really behind it to begin with. You know, you either are for, you know, standing up for social injustice.
Yeah, either you're for something or you're not. You're not for it when it
until it pays off. Right. Yeah, that's crazy. But nobody else is doing it this year. If you notice, nobody else is, and it's kind of died off.
If they are, they're not showing it on camera.
Right. It's died off. So, I mean, I'd be surprised if he doesn't have language in there, which tells me I don't think he'll be back. Because if he's true to his character and his word, if it ever comes out that you signed an agreement that you wouldn't take a knee, everything that he ever did gets thrown under the bus.
Let's move to our last buy or sell. We were talking about 77 points for the Patriots. How about 71 points for the San Francisco 49ers? You buying or selling this team?
Well, they played.
But say the same thing about the Patriots. So let's just chalk both teams up to playing trash.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong.
But we know what the Patriots can do. We see that every year.
But here's the thing. Name
can't do it.
One side, I'll name the other. Tell me who the quarterback is for San Francisco.
Jimmy G.
Brady. Who's the running back?
Barrera.
What?
Starts with a B.
Breda.
What?
Breda and Mostert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sony Michel, James White, Rex, and Damian Harris.
I'm stuck now. I'm stuck. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Now tell me a wide receiver. Their number one wide receiver last season was Dante Pettis. Right. He's played 5 offensive plays in 2 games. I was so high on him coming into this year. He's played 5 offensive plays. He's had 1 throw and 1 target. It's killing me.
I think you could say Jimmy G and George Kittle.
Yeah. Now here's what I will say. Tight end, they got that over Patriots. But offensively, they have a great offensive coach. And just like I'll give Andy Reid the credit, I will give that same credit to Shanahan. Dude can, you give him average players, above average players, but he is going to coach them into being open. And that's what they've done so far. He's played some, had some amazing play calls. Ultimately, I know they both played the same mediocre talent. They played against mediocre teams, bottom of the barrel teams. But I believe in the players on New England. I believe in the coach on San Francisco. So,
and I don't want anyone to think, oh, you're calling these teams trash. Look.
No,
if
not
you're
at
in
all.
The, if you're, look, to put up 70-plus points, I think they're the only two teams that's done this. I got to look at the Ravens. They might be in there.
Well, they put 59 in the first game. So
okay, yeah. Then, yeah, they're in there. So, four max. If the Chiefs, Ravens, it's to put up 70-plus points in two games in the NFL, I don't care who you're playing. That's hard to do.
Yep.
These are the best of the best in the world at what they do. And I don't care. Yeah, they're getting paid millions, but nobody's going on that field saying, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to play hard. Because you can't do that. You'll get hurt. They're playing. So I'm interested to see because 49ers, back in the day, great team, dominant force of the NFC. I wouldn't mind seeing them come back. So it's going to be interesting to see what they can do with the Rams. But let's switch gears here, man. Week 4 NCAA picks. I didn't look at updated betting lines. If you know something has been updated, let me know. If not, this is the lines we're going to go on.
What are you looking at? NCAA?
Yep. And again, guys, our picks can change. So stay tuned on Twitter at TheBigRick62. I'll let you know. We make picks now because the show comes out on Thursday, but we make final picks Saturday morning in a group text and Sunday morning for the NFL. Let's start with Pittsburgh, UCF. At the time of this spreadsheet, it was 11.5 with UCF. What do you have now?
I'm seeing 12.5, but that could be a different site.
Let's stick with 11.5 then.
We'll stick with whatever you got. If I hear anything 3 or 4 points off, I'll tell you.
Okay. Brad chose Pittsburgh. You and I chose UCF. You still down with that?
Yep.
Oklahoma State and Texas. Texas is favored by 6.5. Across the board, we have Texas.
Yeah, I think Texas has a bounce back game. They've had a week off from the Louisiana game.
USC and Utah. Utah is a 4-point favorite. I'm the only one with USC here. Brad and Jim have Utah.
Utah is underrated. I'm telling you, at number 10, they are underrated.
We're going to find out this week.
Yep.
Let's take a break because we have three more games. But LSU fans, listen to me. If you're going to sell tickets to LSU and Utah, don't get pissy at me because I tell you that you're trying to sell tickets to a game that doesn't exist. Okay? We play Utah State. There's a difference between Florida and Florida State. There's a difference between Utah and Utah State. Don't come at me with an attitude when I tell you you're trying to sell tickets to a game that doesn't exist. We don't play Utah. We play Utah State. I just wanted to say that. Don't be ignorant on your own post. Sorry about that. I had to go on that rant. Stanford and Oregon. Oregon, 10-point favorite. Oregon across the board. You still with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Tennessee, Florida. This is a game I didn't want to go anywhere around. I think it was you. Was it you or Brad that chose this game?
I think Brad chose Florida.
I didn't want this game.
That's a big spread.
It is a big spread, especially in the SEC, and anything can happen in the SEC unless you're Alabama. But the way Tennessee has played the last 3 weeks, I think you have to go Florida here at 14. Until Tennessee can prove otherwise, I think, especially in Gainesville, you have to go Florida.
Yeah, the problem is, you know, do you remember when this was like the SEC game?
The SEC, yep, I sure do.
I mean, for years, the winner of that game was going to basically win the SEC. I it was just nuts how big this game was. And I'm talking about Spurrier back in his days. I mean, it's been that far back. It was just, and I mean, that was the game. Phil Fulmer and Spurrier going head to head. Jesus. So, but for them to be as bad as they are, man.
Dude, I'm right in the middle of it. I'm 1.5 hours from Knoxville. I am surrounded by UT fans, and I think anybody that wears orange now are the greatest people in the world. Because I don't know how you could still support a team that is this bad. And every time I look, I mean, everywhere I go, I'm in Chattanooga, you see UT stuff everywhere.
And well, I don't think they support them. I mean, I think if they had their choice, coach is going right now. They'd fire him. He'd be fired the next day after losing the game.
You still got to pay the guy 3 years later. But Tennessee, man, a program like Tennessee should be in the top three every year. I don't know what happened to this program. Peyton Manning, you have abandoned your alma mater. Shame on you, sir. My wife's laughing in the background. Peyton, where you at, man? I don't need you. I'm good. They need you. My team.
They get some talent. It's funny. They get players here and there, but it's just like they never have. Number one, they don't get the coaches they used to get. Now they're getting, you know, retreads or guys that are coming up through the ranks or something, but it's nowhere near the draw that it was when Fulmer was there. I think when they pulled in Derek Dooley was when they first started taking step down.
What if I told you that just 3 years ago, or maybe four, they had Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, but he wasn't the player he is in the NFL.
But how do we know that? They had no coach to utilize him. You put Alvin Kamara was with Nick Saban. Disciplinary actions, he transferred. You put an Alvin Kamara with no disciplinary actions with Saban, you're going to get a Heisman candidate. I don't think Tennessee knew what they had.
Yeah, but that's like
coaching.
That's like saying Randy Moss was at Florida State and then West Virginia and then ended up at Marshall.
The Marshall, the herd, baby.
And dominated. But, I mean, had he been at Florida State, they'd probably have a couple more championships.
BYU and Washington. Washington is a 6-point favorite. We have Washington across the board.
That's a scary game for me.
About to say, no upset here for BYU, you think? Or
it's a scary game for me. I always like BYU, but the money's all going to be on Washington because they're playing well. I don't know. I mean, we had it on the board, so
I think my pick is going to change before Saturday. I've been back and forth on this one. I really have.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, it's funny. I didn't see many games when we were looking at stuff. The only games that I thought, I mean, hell, the Michigan-Wisconsin game, which we didn't pick.
I don't want it. I don't want to pick it.
That's what I mean. I wouldn't put any money on it regardless. I mean, and I'm a Michigan fan, but
that's what I call a trap game right there. That's a game that takes your money.
Well, it's also a game that no matter which side you bet on, which is unusual, you could lose. And not just lose by the point, you could lose a game. So
yep.
I'm shocked that it's a 3-point spread, but
Wisconsin, you know. Right?
Yeah.
All right, let's switch gears here to the NFL. Falcons, Colts. Colts are 2-point favorite. We have Falcons across the board.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think the Falcons win this outright. Redskins, Bears. Bears, 4-point favorite. Brad has the Redskins. For what reason, I have no idea. I think this is the game that the Bears offense breaks out like everyone expects them to. I think the Bears beat the Redskins probably by 10 here.
If they don't hold them scoreless, I'd be shocked because Bears yes, have a good defense no matter what their offense does.
Jets, Pats, man. When I see 17, 8, when I see anything over 16 in the NFL, I tend to go the other way. That's a lot of points in the NFL. But this year, when I see 22 points in the Patriots, then I see the Jets that are up to their practice squad quarterback. I think you have to take the Patriots in the points. 22.5, I think they're going to blow them out.
Yeah, what was funny was I didn't want to take New England last week because the coach for Miami is Brian Flores, came from New England. And I thought
he knew a little something, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to take it easy on him. He'll win the game. They might win 25-0 or 30-6, something like that. But it's too close to the spread. But, Jesus, he didn't care. He just – I mean, they didn't – wasn't like he was throwing deep or anything, but Miami had nobody. And I think in this game, Belichick will absolutely throw 50 on Gase because he doesn't like him. And Gase is actually coming in cocky because when he was with Miami, they upset – New England several times. So I think I could see them blowing them out 40-6 or something.
Maybe I should bet some money on that. But one game I'm not betting money on is this next one. I know the Dolphins suck, but But the Cowboys, man, 21.5-point favorite. I'm the only one that took the Dolphins here.
Yeah, I see this as the opposite of what we just talked about. In this game, I don't think the Dolphins can score. So I actually think that Dallas is going to run their – Zeke's going to get 150 yards. Even if they don't throw the ball, they're going to run the clock down, but they're going to win 28-35-0, 35-6. Their defense is coming around, and I'll be shocked if Miami can put up two scores. So
this is your last chance, Miami, with me. I took you last week.
It's crazy.
You screwed me hard. Don't screw me here. Well, you're not going to screw me hard this week because I'm not putting any money on you. So, but you cost me a lot of money last week.
Think about what you just said. If you had told me before the season, I'll let you put money on any NFL team. You put $100 down on any NFL team, and I'll give you 21 points both back-to-back weeks. You would take that bet 100 out of 100 times.
Yep.
You're giving me 21 points. I don't care what team it is. Matter of fact, I'll let you name the team. I'll take 21 points.
Right.
In any NFL team. Especially when if you're telling me like a parlay, I can cover it over 2 weeks. Well, I'd be $100 poorer right now. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Chargers, Texans. Chargers are 3.5-point favorites. Brad and I have the Texans. You're sticking with the Chargers. What do you see in the Chargers, man?
I honestly, it's not so much the Chargers. I like their defensive line. But at some point, I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to make it through a game. And I mean, he's getting hit harder than any QB I've ever seen that didn't get knocked out of a game. He got sacked 6 times the first game. I think it was 6 times the second game or
Jesus,
5 times.
Really?
Something like that. But it's not just a sack where 4 or 5 people collapse on the pocket. He's getting lit up. And even when and that's not counting throws where he's getting hit. And even their local, I was reading something yesterday, their local commentators on Twitter during the game are basically saying that they didn't think he'd make it out of the game. Go look through Twitter, and it's like their commentators are like, I don't see how he makes it out of this game standing up. And that's during the game.
Right.
So, I mean, and that was against Jacksonville.
Breaking news.
Very, very close game.
Breaking news. Drew Brees has had successful surgery. Just wanted to get that out there. On his wife's birthday, what a champ she is, flying up from New Orleans to L.A. to be with her husband on her birthday while he has surgery.
Yes, sir.
It's been successful. Guys, look out. Cinderella's story is coming this year. He is coming back. Final game of the week, the game I put money on. This is my lock of the week, man. Titans, 2-point favorites against the Jaguars. We have Titans across the board.
Yeah, I'm second-guessing that.
Don't second-guess it, Jim.
Well, I mean, it depends on which – I don't like the fact that the Titans can't be consistent. I mean, Jacksonville is playing well enough to win a game – 14-13. I mean, they just lost 13-12. So, I mean, they're playing. I think they get a win this week. I just their defense is playing well, and the Titans have a good defense too.
You want me to switch that up? You want to wait till Sunday?
Yeah. No, it's just Thursday game.
It is. It's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I need your answer an hour before kickoff.
Yeah, I'll tell you before. But I'm certainly not betting anything on it. But I'm just getting a bad vibe about it. I mean, it's just
– you're too close to the Titans, man.
No, I mean, I don't like them. I don't like Mariota.
What am I saying? I'm more near Nashville than you are. You're an hour south of me. Never mind.
No, here's the thing for me is I don't think Tennessee has a good enough passing game if you shut down the running game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jaguars can do that. They have the ability to shut down the running game. And if they do, I don't think Mariota is a good enough quarterback to beat him through the air with the receivers and people that he has. I like some of the players individually, I just don't think they have the offense prepared to do that. And if Jacksonville can keep it a low-scoring game, I mean, hell, a field goal can win it on either side. So the 2 points looks appealing.
Let's just stick on the Jags real quick, then we'll wrap it up. Jalen Ramsey requested a trade. Jaguars accepted. You see this man going anywhere?
Yeah, he's finalizing a deal with Atlanta right now.
No, he's not.
Breaking news.
Don't play. Hey, and just talking about Atlanta, the game Drew is supposed to return, Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, his 6 week is the bye week, so that really gives him an extra week of practice. And that was what I was worried about, man. Now, look, let's talk about the Saints, as always. I want your honest opinion. I think the Saints can go – man, look, as a fan, I'm hoping 3-3. I'm hoping 4-2. Realistically, from an unbiased opinion, I think they can go 3-3. I think the Saints have the talent on offense to score without Drew, but I don't think they can consistently – or the longer the season goes on without Drew, the worse our offense is going to look. I think these next 4 or 5 games is pretty much it. I think if Drew was out any longer than 6 weeks, if he was out 8 to 10, I think we'd be out of it. But we got Arizona, we have Jacksonville, we have Chicago, we have Seattle, we have Tampa.
Here's the thing that I'm concerned about from a Saints fan perspective is every one of those teams you named is either a dominant defense or a flat out can put 30 up on the board in the game.
And we know the Saints defense is not good. Our front four is tremendous. Yeah.
I mean, you're playing Jacksonville, Chicago. Is it Chicago, right?
At Chicago.
Yeah, Jacksonville, Chicago, top 5 defenses. So if Teddy Bridgewater don't have his game together, they're just going to shut down Kamara and say, what are you going to do? I mean, make you beat him with something else. And then you flip it over and you got Seattle. But you got great offenses, and which means they're going to put up 30 on your D. You got to score 30. So it's all going to come down to if Bridgewater can play like I've seen him play with the Saints, like in some fill-in roles where he does well, maybe it's preseason or whatever, but if you can't score 21 per game with Bridgewater, I don't think you're going 3-3.
Well, Sean has already said there's no starter.
Hill.
Every time he's thrown the ball, it's been a deep ball and it's been on point. And I think when he gets back there, he's going to take a lot of people by. You haven't seen him. You don't watch the Saints every week. You've seen highlights. We see him every week on every play. And I'm just saying this as a fan. I think he should be starting instead of Teddy.
Oh, no. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he shouldn't. What I'm saying is playing gadget plays
right,
is very different from sitting back. In other words, every play that he runs, he knows before the play starts, this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
Because he's not reading the field to find the open guy. He's not, going through progressions and stuff like that. He has a play, and a lot of them are built off of the run pass option. So that part I give him credit for, and I think he is going to succeed in that. But experience and history have said that is not a successful formula for winning games in the NFL.
For bonus points here, you ready? At Seattle.
I've already got Seattle.
No. Saints. What are they going to do without Drew? At Seattle.
I've already got Seattle. That's okay. What I said.
Home against Dallas. Sunday night football.
Dallas would be 4-0 at that point. I think Dallas crushes them.
Home against Tampa.
Without Breeze, that's a shootout. I hate it, but I think Tampa can score points.
At Jacksonville. Man, you got us 0-3 right now.
No, I just think – I'm not saying 0-3. I'm saying Dallas is going to put up 25 points.
Right.
All right. Seattle's going to put up
20.
Probably 25 points. Tampa Bay may not, but it's your defense isn't shutting them down either. So, I mean, it's back and forth. So, who was the next team?
It was Jacksonville.
I think 14-13 game. I mean,
at Chicago.
How's the Saints run defense?
Our front four is on point, man. I think we lead the league in sacks and hits right now, and rushing yards. It's just when you get past our linebackers, and I posted that on Twitter. I said, if you want to beat the Saints, just go for the long ball every time.
Just throw just the
like,
ball.
If,
yeah.
If you throw the ball 40 plus yards a game as an opposing offense, you're going to catch 60% of them, and they're going to lead to points. You're not going to run on us. You're not going to do short game against us, but you could pass long all day. Eli Apple is horrible. PJ Williams is horrible.
Yeah.
Lattimore needs to get back to where he was last year.
Yeah. So Chicago, where's that at? In Chicago?
At Chicago and in home against Arizona. Man, look, realistically, if I had to bet money, if someone said you're betting on 3-3 or 2-4, I would have to – it breaks my heart, man, to say 2-4, but I don't know what we look like without Drew. And that's
right.
– I don't know what we – I know we have the talent, but we're about to find out how much of that offense is truly ran by Drew or how much is truly ran by Sean, and we're going to find out this week.
Right. Well, think about this, too. If teams don't respect the passing game, and they let's just say they double Michael Thomas and they put 8 in the box, Kamara is just – I don't think he can take the beating.
No.
And you got to go through 5 games – that are either going to score 30 points or they are going to crush on defense. I mean, they're just going to pack the box and dare you to throw the ball to somebody other than Thomas. So, I don't know, man. I mean, 2-4, 1-5.
The star of the Saints offense these next 6 weeks could be Jared Cook. Whether it's Hill, whether it's Bridgewater, I'm with you. I think they double Thomas. And to me, it's Drew that makes these other – Kirk Woods. It's Drew that makes these other receivers so dangerous.
Absolutely.
So I think –
well, he number one, he sees the double team, so he immediately comes off the read and is looking at the secondary receiver. But these new guys are going to – I have a feeling that they're not going to come off. They're going to try to force the ball to Michael Thomas. And
they better not do that. That is how you go 1-5, 2-4.
Yeah, I mean,
Teddy is looking for that drop down, whether it's Cook or Kamara in the flats. You're not going to see a lot of long deep balls. If you have Michael Thomas in fantasy, I'm telling you now, sit him at least these next 2 weeks. Sit him.
I tell you who I think the star might be for your next 5 weeks is Ted Ginn, because
possibly.
He's if the double is going on Michael Thomas to shut him down, that means he's one-on-one on the other side or from the seam, and both those quarterbacks can throw a deep ball, and he'll get loose once a game to on a post play or a skinny post or something, and it'll be – he could be the star. I mean, I just think that they're going to pack the line and force him to find somebody else. And like most quarterbacks who haven't been playing a while, they'll try to force it to him first until they get picked off or until they turn the ball over a couple times, and then they'll start going to secondary reads, but it's a slow progression.
And Teddy, you have to get that ball out, man. You can't hold that ball for 6 seconds. That is going to create holding penalties. It's going to put you in a deeper hole, and that's what screwed us against Los Angeles. And I get nobody wanted Teddy to go on. I don't think Teddy wanted to be in that situation. You get nervous. Well, I mean, you're playing a top-ranked defense. You don't know where you're going. We can only pass block for 3, 4, 5 seconds at most. And then you got to get rid of the ball. So it's going to be – that's why I think Cook, I think maybe Murray in the flats. It's going to be these short passes, these quick slants. Michael Thomas, I'm telling you, man, Jim, sit him if you got him. I don't think he's 6, 7, 8 points these next couple weeks.
Well, you know, he could go 5 catches for 60 yards.
That ain't going to happen.
I mean, you'll take that because that's wide receiver 2 numbers. So,
well, if you were a defensive coordinator, you got to take away Kamara and you got to take away Thomas.
Yeah, but think about it. no NFL team doubles a guy every single play.
Correct.
I mean, hell, even Julio, the key is to recognize when he's not doubled, that maybe once, twice a game or even once a drive, and that's the time you got to take your shot with him to give him a chance for a 50-50 ball, because Michael Thomas, like Julio, can probably win most of theirs.
Yep.
But you got to give him a shot, not when he's doubled. I mean, that's how they're going to be successful. But I just don't think either one of those quarterbacks can live without forcing the ball to him.
All right, brother. Well, good luck this week in your bets and your fantasy. And it, I wear a 3X jersey because that's what it's looking like.
it's looking a lot like that.
This is horrible. I said, man, we have a good team, but we can't score. And when we do score, the guy that we're playing is the second highest score in the league. And I'm like, good Lord.
Dude, every time I check mine, I check yours.
Brad goes, you're paying it. I said, no, we splitting this shit. I said, I'm not paying it. I said, we better make a 5-game run here or something's going to have to happen.
Hey, there's and just so we have a caveat, there's none of this shit where you get to make a public announcement that, oh, no, my next announcement is all a joke. none of that.
All right, brother. Well, good luck this week, man, and stay in touch.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
All right, later. All right, guys, find the Weekly Blitz podcast on Twitter at TheBigRig62 and go to TheChairShot.com, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, or go to TheChairShot.com, main menu, and click store and pick up your official Like a Referee's Whistle merchandise for TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.